Welcome to Three Ring Radio this week. Well, welcome to Three Ring Radio any week. But this week is my special 666 wrap-up show. I'm broadcasting live from Minnesota. A lovely band in the background here. I forget their name. High Energy. Maybe that was it. But I'm playing at the bar here. I'm in the corner. And I'm back at home in the great state of Minnesota. Ely, Minnesota is where I'm at. And this is what we enjoy up here. This kind of great ambience, beer drinking. Look at this. There's Guns N' Roses, too. How do you beat that? Okay. So. Yes. So, just getting back from Los Angeles, I drove out there with Amy. And we spent a couple weeks on the road, I guess. Stopped in Salt Lake City. And I guess that's maybe... That's where this all starts. We stopped in Salt Lake City for a great book signing, and we ended up driving home. The last day in L.A. we spent with Forrest Ackerman, and I had played the recording I made at his house last week. That was really cool to hang out with Forrest. And on the way home, I can't remember stopping anywhere that great. We just sort of hustled home, but. Regardless, the drive was cool. I got my think on, so it was nice to get out of the house and away from the computer for a couple weeks. It was nice to see all the people at Radio Free Satan event. And it was nice to come home to a flood of hate mail and controversy regarding our event, the 666 events in L.A. And that was very disconcerting. That all happened, but I guess maybe I'll get into that after I play a couple of songs. I'll play a song and talk a little bit about our trip. I really liked Salt Lake City, and it was really a fun time. A lot of a crazy scene, but I noticed in my travels across the country that places like Salt Lake City, very religious and have a very religious community, spawn these great subcultures. And we got to see this great black metal band called Ibex Throne. And, I mean, we went to this club the night before the book signing that I had to do at this shop in Salt Lake City called Red Room. And you should visit that shop. I know I have links to them off of my MySpace account at MySpace/EvilNow. Great store, though. Great. It had a lot of murderabilia in there and a lot of horror movie stuff. You know, really cool people, Kim and Jason, and they went and got married on 666. So how cool is that? It's sort of all tied in. Well, let me give her a hand. Oh, good song. Okay. So Jason and Kim were great hosts, and it was wonderful. Oh, Whiskey Meg. Shout out to Whiskey Meg and everyone at Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City. Great magazine. Great gal. I wish I could have drank some whiskey with you next time. For sure. Yeah, but Salt Lake City was cool. We did I spoke for, well, not like anyone who listens to this show surprised that I can speak for a couple hours at a time. But 2-3 hours, showed some films, sold out of all the books we had, and it was a really good turnout. And then we went to a bar afterwards, and the name of the bar, but it was cool. It was a good time. And we hung out with Storm and the Dark, I always want to call her the Princess, but the Dark Queen and Storm. Storm and his woman. How about that? I'm just going to sum it up like that. And Storm does Art on You Studios. And we hung out with them and drank whiskey, shots of whiskey. And then the next day, we went out for pizza with Storm and his woman, the Dark Queen, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so that was a good time in Salt Lake City. Gentlemen, I forget what band. I gotta find this guy's band name. I forget it, but he was really cool. He hooked us up with some smoke for the road, and very nice guy, and have to play some of his music. But I think right now I'm going to play a song from Ibex Throne. And Ibex Throne is this great black metal band, and the lead singer, Zodiac, he may be a DJ on Radio for Satan soon. He was real stoked about that. But the funny thing is, Zodiac's a real nice guy, real cool. But you wouldn't know it. On stage, he like sliced himself up. He's bleeding all over the place. It was a great show. If you want to go to crimeandcookies.com, and on the right-hand side, you'll see some buttons there. You go to the Crimecast, and you can catch a lot of the audio from my road trip. Like I recorded, I have an Ibex Throne song on there, and I think I have some Zodiac audio as he got kicked out of the club. Why did he get kicked out of the club? For bleeding. And I asked the bartender later, I said, why'd you kick him out? And she goes, I gotta clean that shit, dude. You know, I thought it was because it was, you know, some politically correct reason, but that's one I can't really argue with, you know. I don't want to clean up after anyone's blood either. You know, so it was interesting. Listen to this. This song sounds just like the original. It's not. That's not a jukebox in the background, okay? All right. Anyway. So Ibex Throne was good. Good time. And Zodiac was a good guy hanging out with him. Very nice guy. He came to the book signing the next day. He was just super cool. Super cool guy. So I hope, Zodiac, if you're listening, turn in that show. Let's get going, man. So here is some Ibex Throne. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. That was Ibrex Throne. Humanity is worthless. I would agree with that. Yeah, so this is Three Ring Radio. My name's Shane, and I'm doing my 666 wrap-up show. Funny thing about doing a show, promoting a show, and being a promoter, it's funny that the house on June 5th, 2006, 666 Eve, was packed. It was close to being a sold-out event. We had about, throughout the night, it's funny, the final count came to, and I know no one's going to believe this, so it's almost pointless me saying, but it was 666 people came through the door, and that's what the guy with the clicker up front counted. But it was close. It was close. So, boy, was that me or nice buzz? Okay. Yeah, so, and those weren't all paid. It was probably 200 people that were media people. And, I mean, they were all up front. I remember the bloody burlesque girls, and they were all up front, these media people taking photos. We had a VIP room. Rob Black and Lizzie Borden showed up for the event, and that was really cool. Because most people don't know what their deal is, but they're like they're going to jail almost. Could be. I mean, Rob Black doesn't think he will, but some people think he will. I mean, some people think he won't. But he's like the Larry Flint of our generation almost. I mean, he's being, and that pornography arrests in pornography and obscenity go hand in hand. I mean, they get arrested for that shit a lot. So I think it's just a part of their business. But Rob Black actually pushed the envelope. He's not a guy who was just producing lame porno in order to make a buck. He was really producing porno that hasn't been produced before, really pushing the envelope, as they say. And so it was cool that they turned out. I was happy with most of, I was happy with the whole show. We had a great cake fight at midnight. The Headsick Pinup Girls, headsickpinups.com, you should check it out. They were there, and they were just a great time. I mean, that was just wonderful. And the cake fight, the Omen sponsored part of our show, and they brought in a cake, and we threw it all over the place at midnight, which was really fun. My memories of the night are of a lot of work, but that's common promoting a show. My memories was all I dealt with a lot of times was the performers coming up to me with their hands out like they were homeless and in need of $20 for gas, in need of $50 for gas, in need of drink tickets, in need of free food. And it made me really despise a lot of these people because they're just needy people. And and they acted very needy. It wasn't like they had their hustle on and, hey, what can we get for free? I'm going to put a blog up on probably evilnow.com. Well, go there and evilnow.com in the blog spot. And I'm going to put down exactly how much I paid for everything and the exact science of doing or promoting a show like that. And I think you'd be very surprised at how little a promoter actually makes versus how much he risks. Luckily for me, I've given up doing this for a business, and doing that show wasn't to make money. It was to have fun and take advantage of the marketing possibilities behind the 666 date, to get some headlines for Radio Free Satan, get some more listeners in here for the advertisers. And that's really where it was at for the whole 666 date. You know, for me. And we accomplished all of our goals. For show. You know, we got a lot of media. We probably got the most press next to the Omen. I mean, the Radio Free Satan event, that is. Out of all the 666 events that happened on June 5th or 6th, we got the most press. If you run it in the search engines, you'll see. Or on TV or what have you. We got a ton of press. Like, It was on Canadian TV. I was on regular TV. Boy, we got a ton of press. There was a documentary being filmed there. There was a porno filmed at the event. It was nice. Paris Gables licked a toilet clean. The VIP room toilet clean. She licked it clean. A dirty toilet. Ooh. Yeah, I know some people might not consider that porno, but where you at? Okay, where you been? That is. That's where it's at. That's what I'm saying. That's Extreme Associates for you. Fucking having bitches licking toilets for jerk-offs. So that was good. It was cool. It was cool that it happened at the Radio Free Satan event. The one thing that bothered me, the only people that showed up there were the shit-stirring Cape Click. They're basically like these Lestat followers. And this is inside information, but it is Radio Free Satan. Lestat is this prick with ears that works for the Church of Satan, or works with them, whatever. He runs a bulletin board called Letters to the Devil. Go there and see how funny he is, okay? But these guys show up, and I guess Amy put it the right way. She feels sorry for them that they can't have a good time. You know, they came there and complained. And we knew this was going to happen. We didn't even want to let them into the event. But they came there, and they left, and they complained. And I mean, what do you come to an event where the headline, like one of the marketing points, is pussy pumping, pecker raising, metal kind of time? Why would you come to that and then leave it and complain because there's pussies pumping, peckers raising, and metal times happening? It was funny. I had heard a report from someone somewhere. Somehow got reports back that people felt like they were just dirty. They had a film on them, a slime. And, you know, that slime comes from it's quite common in a good rock show. It's usually sweaty. Just sweat all over everyone. Everyone's rubbing their sweaty bodies and beer all over them. But that slime that you left the Radio Free Satan 666 Eve party with was a slime created from the Headsick pinup girls. See, their blood was fake. And so it's basically corn syrup and red dye. And so them walking around the club and people feeling them up and putting their arms around them and stuff, everyone got a good slime over them. So it was cool. For me, that stuff's cool. And I guess as I look at the whole satanic perspective, which I don't like to say that word too much, I just don't like, you know, I dig LaVey's philosophy, and I dig the book Might is Right, and I think that is just the way it is. It's not really something that... it's not something you can really promote or say is a good thing for everyone. It's just, you know, it's not, it is what it is. It's not good. It's not bad. It just is. And I noticed that there's a couple of factions to the satanic world. And there's the blue collar folk, like myself, working class people who embrace that philosophy, the Might is Right, COS. And when I say COS, that's Church of Satan philosophy. And there's very highly educated, upper crust folks that embrace it as well. And, you know, having done the last interview with LaVey and stuff, and having gotten to hang out with them and everything. Well, I don't think he really looked down on blue-collar folk. He seemed to be almost be from a working-class type of background. And he didn't come from necessarily a lot of money. I'm not sure about his history, but I don't know a lot about the COS history or anything to do with a lot of that stuff, the trivial stuff. But I see it. There is these upper crust folks, and I don't mean upper crust in a bad way. I just mean they do come from money, or they're educated. Then there's the blue collar folk, the working class, and then in the middle, there's these assholes with names like Lestat, and have to go run the fedora, the cape click, as I call them. The folks wearing fedoras, yet they're going to their one-bedroom apartment. You know, barely making ends meet, but they have a nice suit in the closet, and they dress up, and there's these posers, and that's what they are, posers. And they're in the middle there, and I think they come from working-class backgrounds, but they hate that fact about them. They hate their background. They want to be these folks for money. They want to be all of these things. And that's part of the dressing in a suit, wearing the fedora, saying, I am not that. They're just like the fucking the Jews that turned in their the other Jews that were in hiding to save themselves. They're just like that. They're like the self-hating gay or the self-hating Jew or what have you, that just has a very that very much despises themselves, you know, this part of themselves that they want to try to eliminate. And I just don't get it. It was hilarious because this UV ray dude, this midget, this short, and I'm short, but, you know, when you're shorter than me, man, you know, just face it, you're going to have some Napoleon issues. And this guy comes in, and he has this bad attitude. And I heard reports back from the and see, the Church of Satan had this 666 high mass the next day. For some of the folks listening to me, they don't know anything about that. And that's good. But they had this high mass the next day, and UV Ray was there, and I heard he was very grumpy, very much an asshole. I heard plenty of reports. And this guy, when I say UV Ray, this cunt that's on Letters to the Devil, he he's funny. He's one of these people. I've talked to many folks in the COS about this, and there's these people like that feel they have to be very mean or very evil or fascist or fascist appearing or wearing a fedora, whatever. And these folks, I hope someday they will evolve or mature to a point where they understand what's going on, where they understand, where they get it, where they truly get it. And it really, none of it matters. Nothing, what they say doesn't matter, only what you do. And most of those, you know, most of those kids, they're young and they need to mature. And to me, and what do they need to mature into? Someone who could look at someone and understand that they're not going to like them and then stay the fuck away. And I think when you're that confused as a UV ray or a Lestat, where you promote the fact that you don't like this kind of person and you talk about it publicly, and yet you go to a show, you pay for a ticket to go to a show, and these people like to set themselves off as the elite group. But I don't know if that's so elite, where you're like, if that's basically a herd mentality, you're going to a show that you would never go to for whatever your good reason is. I mean, why can't you bend people's wills to do what you want, as I did? I noticed that I got most of my enemies to come to that show. I made you come there, UV. You submitted to me, Lestat. You basically submitted to me. How do you feel about that, you bald-headed prick? UV Ray, how do you feel that you bowed down to me? Because when all's said and done, and you want to separate yourself from the rest of the folks that were in Zen Sushi that night, you can't. For the simple fact is, once you bought a ticket, you became one of them, a ticket buyer, an audience member. And that's all you are. Most of my listeners know they're walking $20 bills to me. They understand their purpose. They understand their purpose for what I do and what we do here at Radio Free Satan. If you're listening, we want your money. We want your, okay, some people will call it support. I'm just being blunt about it. I want your $20 bill. I want you to subscribe to Radio Free Satan. I want you to buy a t-shirt from Radio Free Satan. I want you to go buy one of my books from evilnow.com. You know, we want your support. When you see one of the Radio Free Satan DJs out, they want you to buy them a drink. At least. That's the least you can do for listening for free. That's the fucking least you can do. And, you know, once you buy a ticket, once you buy that ticket, you're one of a ticket. You're a ticket holder. You're no better than any of the other ticket holders. To me, the guy you bought a ticket from. You see, maybe when you walk outside Zen Sushi, you're better because you're driving it, because you perceive you being better as driving a better car. And it's funny talking to Stephen Leiba beforehand and afterhand. You know, it was very upsetting. The whole thing was very upsetting to us. And I hate to say us. I just, you know, it's not like we have a mutual agreement on everything. I know he was very upset. I talked to him way after the event. And, oh, yeah, Kevin Slaughter. You fucking fedora-wearing cunt. How dare you talk smack about me? I started you. You're like my son. If you remember, I'm the guy who gave you credit when no one would. I'm the guy who gave you books you never paid for. But you'll go around and talk and smack about how I won't pay someone? You're amazing. That's amazing. And just because you never fit in before, you never fit in anywhere in your life, and you finally feel like you fit in somewhere, don't you? Don't you, Kevin? Don't you? You finally feel like you fit in. You finally feel like someone's listening. But you know what? Those people that listen to you, they're nothing. They're sheep. They're shit. Most of the people that listen to you, Kevin, are. And if they're not, if they're doers like Stephen Leiba or Chris X or Jim Goad, they're using you because you're so in awe of what they do. They do what you cannot. You have to suckle the nipple of someone that does. I've been there. I don't do that anymore, but I've been there, and hopefully you'll evolve. Hopefully UV Ray will evolve. Okay? And sometimes it sounds like I got a problem with Lestat. I don't. If I had a fedora, my fedora would be off to that bald-headed prick, because he can really bend people to his will. He could really manipulate folks. And I really, I do enjoy watching Lestat's ability to manipulate people. And he manipulates very weak people. Me, you know, I like that. I'm down. And it was nice to be able to manipulate Lestat into buying a ticket for an event that he said he would boycott and never support. Of course, he had good reason. He made a good excuse and said, I'm only coming there to support Stephen Leiba. But nonetheless, your $9 went to my fat hide. And you know better. You came there because you had to submit to the power of that show. Because you understood. Because you, Lestat, will not take you will not miss an opportunity to take advantage of a situation. Something I respect. You came there to take advantage, network, shake hands, as you did, as we have you on video, doing, shaking hands and smiling and having a good time. Funny what we caught on video. People do their written accounts, and I can't wait till the DVD comes out, because it's really funny what we caught on video. And you just wait to see. We had some books stolen. It's going to be funny to see who stole those books and everything. So, fucking funny. Really funny. But I'm all over the place here, I guess. Lestat, you are one of a kind, man. You are amazing. You go by name Lestat. How gay is that, dude? How fucking gay? You know, it's funny. I don't go to the COS website or anything, but I know there's some sort of warning on there when you run across guys that have to have fucking black eyeliner or whatever, and or, you know, capes and call themselves Lestat, that you should be weary of them. And I think that's what the funny part of it is. So many people are worried about what this dolt Lestat has to say. So many people, you know, and that's the word, you know, the people that I really despise, I don't despise you yet, I guess, but the people I really have issue with isn't Lestat, because he's manipulating you. The person that listens to him, when Lestat said that the Radio Free Satan 666 Eve party was not a COS event, was not a Church of Satan approved event, and people listened to him and took him at his word, those are the people that I have issue with. Because they, and some of them, and then there's another group, there's people that actually listened to what he said and didn't come to the show, even though Lestat attended the show. And then there was a couple of kids and folks that emailed me direct and said, hey, I'm confused. Lestat says this isn't a good event to go to, and it's anti-COS. But your poster's on the Church of Satan website. And Peter Gilmore, the head of the Church of Satan, is in fact promoting your event. So I'm confused. And I said, well, there's not a lot of, you know, I'd have to email him back and explain to him that Lestat has nothing to do with the Church of Satan website as far as who gets on there and stuff. His letters to the devil is his individual board. He's an individual, and that's his message board that is semi-endorsed by the COS. You know, they work with them. Peter Gilmore works with them. But that doesn't mean that what he says is law. I mean, if you have questions, you should just email the folks at churchofsatan.com. If you have questions on what's valid, who's out there doing stuff, and what's going on, and just look at their news section. I mean, that shows you. And that's really the folks that I have issue with are the folks that just repeat what is said. And it was the same thing Laba said on stage, 666 Eve. He went out there and attacked the folks with titles. And I loved everything he said. He said, you're a magistrate tonight, but you're a cashier at a Taco Bell tomorrow. Where is your satanic presence? What have you done? And more importantly, not what have you done, because everyone can debate me on that and say, I've done this, I've done that, I do it this way. And you can all quote back that fucking satanic Bible, and you can all read it backwards and forwards to me all you want. But the real question is, what will you leave behind? What is your legacy? Will you be remembered in 100 years by anyone else but your fucking bloodline? Will you? Will you, Lestat? Or will your website be erased as quickly as it was put up when you're gone? What will you be remembered for? You know, unlike most of the shit talkers that throw eggs at me, I go toe to toe with any of them as far as much stuff as I've done, and as I've laid behind a lot of stuff. I will leave behind a lot, and it will last. And some of the stuff I've left behind is historic, and some of the people I've worked with and made happen, not just worked with them, not just rode their coattails, but made happen. I did based on, point is, I get fucking interviewed for fucking major published books, magazines, shit like that. I don't see Lestat in any of that stuff, and he could say he doesn't. Nah, fuck Lestat. Fuck talking about that cunt. It's you, the people that I care about, the Radio Free Satan listener, the folks that do support us. Quit listening to anyone but yourself. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to anyone. Listen to yourself. Make your decisions. Live your life. What? Stephen Laba asked me a good question on the interview I did before I left. Or he asked, not me, but the satanic person that believes they're elite just because they wear a pentagram or Baphomet or has the Church of Satan, all the books LaVey wrote. What makes you elite? What makes you elite? And, you know, driving out to California, had these 35 hours to think about it on the road. And I kept thinking, that question was so good. I kept thinking, what does make me elite? I've got a big fat ass. Huh. I live hand to mouth. I have constant struggle in my life, which I enjoy, by the way, but I have this constant struggle where, you know, any money I get in, I spend it. You know, we're working hard. We're investing in projects. We have this struggle. And I go, what does make me elite? You know, I mean, I don't have health insurance. I don't have dental insurance. I'm fucking getting old. I'm balding. I'm sagging. You know, that doesn't sound good, does it? No. But what makes me elite? For me, I could only answer that in one way, is that I'm happy this way. This is what I've always wanted to do, is communicate and manipulate. And I'm doing that. And I've done it for 20 years without working for anyone else. And, you know, to me, in my perception of elite, that's as good as it gets for me. I mean, sure, I would like a nice car maybe when my pecker stops working or something. But yeah, to me, you know, I got a nice woman. I got some animals at the house to make me feel happy. I garden. I cook. And that makes me elite because I'm happy. That's it. So, you know, after I'm going to play a song. And I'm going to come back and talk about Brian Moore, the gentleman who threw the party out there in L.A. on 666, or at least was the gentleman who did all the ditch digging for the event. He wasn't really the reason anyone came out there. I can't imagine anyone came to L.A. just to meet Brian Moore. I think we all came out there because of the, Church of Satan? Yeah. So Brian Moore, though, had this thing going on in his head, like people were coming out there to see him, and it was his event. But I think we all know his event would have had 10, 15 people, and they would have all had fedoras on. Anyway, after this song, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to get a glass of water, and after this song, we're going to talk Brian Moore and the rest of the 666 crybabies and cape wearing. We're going to talk fedora wars. That's what we're going to talk, because the fedora wars are on. Okay?
It's no good trying to place your hand where I can't see, because I understand that you're different from me. Yes, I can tell that you can't be what you pretend, and you're rocking backwards, and you're rocking towards the red and yellow mane of a stallion horse. We'll be right back.
right, we're back. All right. I've smoked a joint. I got a drink of water. I'm a lot more mellow. Okay. And hey, there you go. That's funny. You'll hear this cape click talking here and there, or you might correspond with someone in this satanic cape click, and they'll talk about how Satanism isn't about illegal drug use or breaking the law in any way. And so when I say I smoke a joint and I'm an actual representative, you know, it's very controversial for those folks. That's how, you know, that's sort of funny, isn't it? I think it is. I think it's real funny that that's controversial to those folks, and they actually have a debate about it. Very, very funny. You know, I'm sure, you know, everyone breaks the law. Everyone, you know, well, not everyone, but I'm sure they all do. They're just trying to make themselves feel better about it. Well, whatever. You know, it gets as simple as this. Satanism, or the concept of the philosophy, to me, boils down to making your own rules, making your own path, making your own laws, and being happy about it, and doing the best you can with what you have, whether that's working at Subway or, you know, running for political office. You know, you have to work with what you have and be happy, and don't let anyone fuck with you. But it's really, you know, it's not about following rules. And, you know, this is something that me and Stephen Labe have discussed on the phone before in the last interview I did with him. And it's something he spoke on that stage and spoke on a MySpace account. And there's big controversy about it. But that's really what he's talking about, what I'm talking about. And, you know, that's really what it comes down to. There shouldn't be a lot of controversy about it, because it really doesn't fucking matter. At the end of the day, you're fucking dead. And in 100 years, there ain't a whole hell of a lot that you see around you, or that you are into, that you have on your bookshelf even. Maybe that's a bad one, bookshelf. But there's not a whole hell of a lot being produced today that you're going to see in 100 years, let's put it that way. Not anything you produce with a copyright of 1985 is going to be around in 2085. A little bit, but not too much. You probably don't even have one thing in your book collection. You know, and that's really where it's at. So, you suckers who thought it mattered. You suckers. Anyway. And to talk about Brian Moore, what more can I say? But he's full of shit. There's a ton of red flags. You know, whatever. He learned, you know. That shit fucking pisses me off. Ugh. Well, it's a long story, but let's put it this way. We had a friendly exchange one moment because he needed me to move my event because his event was on the 6th, and he made it clear that he wasn't really asking me to do that, but he was upset that I was putting an event on the 6th. We moved it to the eve of. He lied about everything that he promised, and really upset me. And upset me to the point that, you know, ultimately, his only concern was that we were going to steal some of the thunder of the Church of Satan's Satanic High Masses event that he was helping out with. You know, he was helping. He was one of the shit shovelers. You know, he wasn't the horse. He wasn't the person people were coming to see. But he shoveled shit well. He's a good shit shoveler. That's one thing he is. But the fact is, no one came out there to see him. Anyway. Ugh. The guy fucking bullshit. Anyway, his major concern was we were going to steal some of the thunder. And he thought once he got what he wanted, the thunder was the date. And we did steal thunder. As a matter of fact, the Radio Free Satan event was the most publicized event, next to the Omen on 666. And you can track that through search engines. You can see that visibly on the 666 Revelation special that aired on Fox, where they literally called me and asked me to fill Brian's very boring spot. I mean, the email from the producer, as me, for me, when he found out that I was involved in the Church of Satan, he looked at me different because he looked at Brian as a lame-o, as a weirdo. And you know, that's embarrassing to me, man. As much as you want to say that the lowbrow end, the white trash end that I exist in is embarrassing to you, dude, that's embarrassing that you can't bend, you can't even fucking get it. You don't get it. A TV crew comes to your fucking house to talk to you about the number 666, and you tell them in the interview, 666 is just another number. What the fuck did you, what do you think they're going to do? They turn off the camera at that point, you idiot. Oh, that was so embarrassing. Just fucking reading off the Church of Satan website. That's genius. Anyway. You know, you couldn't think of a more romantic, poetic way to say 666 is just another number. You know, like me, I said 666, I'm a metalhead. It's a metal number to me. It means fun because I think of, you know, I did something to try to say it in a different way. You know, Matt Zane, and he's the one who filled the spot for us for the Radio Free Satan DJ there. Matt Zane got on there and he says, we're taking your energy, you know, and that's what I was saying to the press too. I'm saying, we're taking your fun, your fear, and turning it into our fun. There's a quote for you, pal. There you go, Brian. Next time 666 rolls around, you know, that's what you need to say. You say, we're taking your fear and turning it into our fun. Not, let me get this script out. What is that, dude? It's embarrassing. You know, and you got to look yourself in the mirror after that shit, dude. You know, you should have your woman do the speaking. I think, you know, she's better at it, dude. Believe me, she is. At least have her proofread your stuff and check all your emails before you send them out, you punk. All right, well, I'm thoroughly disgusted by that shit, and it's embarrassing to me to even have to talk about Satanism on this show because I like to just practice it, I guess, as the philosophy is. Just be myself. Do, you know, that's funny. With all the media that went on for the 666 event, I kept telling people, they said, how do you describe Radio Free Satan? And I would tell them, you know, Radio Free Satan's like any other radio station, except that we don't care what our listeners want to hear. We play what we want to hear. The DJ plays what they want to hear first. The DJ comes first, not the listener. And that's the big difference with Radio Free Satan and what you're listening to right now. The DJ comes first. And, you know, each DJ is an individual. I'm sure some of the DJs don't appreciate my views, and I could give a shit about theirs. Anyway, I'm happy to be a part of Radio Free Satan. It's been a great time, and this is a great party that we did. It's one of the first of many. We're doing one in October, okay? And it will probably be doing this out on the East Coast. So stay tuned, and it's going to be bigger than this one. I know, how do you get bigger than the 666 date? But the party that we will throw will be sicker than this one. Wait till you see the DVD we're putting out, too. Yeah, the DVD is going to be nice. So, you know, keep in touch. If you want to see that DVD, you got to keep tuning in to Radio Free Satan here. Oh, and we put out a Radio Free Satan 6th anniversary CD. So Radio Free Satan actually has a CD out now. And, hey, some of the bands are actually good. I'm embarrassed. I put a fucking stupid track on there being all... I was going to put it on as the bonus track. And that was my original thought. This is funny. You're going to like this. This is my original thought. I'm going to put it on as the bonus track and not put my name on it, which I should have done. And then Amy... Okay, I'd say, hey, arrange the songs. Tell me what you think. Because she's produced, it was really her project. I just helped put it together technically. And she had my song as the last song. And so I'm like, not my song, some audio cutting, you know, like a collage, an audio collage I made. And so she put it as the last song, and I was offended. I was like, how does she not have her man's song as the first song? So then I put it as the first song.
And then I was like, ah, oh, forget that. It's a little rough. It's laughing at John Lennon's death. So I put it as a third song. And it broke up the flow of the, it broke up the flow. It upset the CD, which is sort of perfect because it's from me and I upset the flow. You know, at least that's what people tell me. I don't understand. But that's on there. So if you want a copy of the Radio Free Satan CD, email me at shane@evilnow.com. And that's all you got to do. Email me your address. Put in the title, because I get a lot of spam. Put in the title, free RFS CD, and I will send you one for free. All you got to do is email me your address and your name or where to send it, whatever. And we'll have it available for download on the RadioFreeSatan.com website in the next couple of weeks. So, you know, stay tuned. We got a lot of cool stuff coming up. Go to EvilNow.com, by the way, also, and pick up my new book, True Crime and Warped Minds, book number one. Ask anyone in Salt Lake City. They love it. They do. They love it. I got good reviews out there. It's good stuff. So you should pick up yours today. Go to Lulu.com and run the Bugbee name in there. And that's spelled B-U-G-B-E-E. Go ahead. Or go to EvilNow.com. Whatever. You know. But, all right. Here's a song. This goes out to the Cape Click. Beware, Cape Click. The Fedora Wars are on.
He was met at the gate of Hades by the guardian of the lost souls, the keeper of the unavenged. And he did say to him, let ye not pass, Abaddon. Return to the world from whence ye came, and seek payment not only for thine own anguish, but vindicate the souls of the unavenged. And they placed in his hands a sword made for him called Vengeance, forged in brimstone and tempered by the woeful tears of the unavenged. And to carry him on his journey back to the upper world, they brought forth their demon horse called Black Death. A grim steed, so fierce in might, and black in color, that he could stand as one in the darkness, save for his burning eyes and crimson fire. And on that night, they rode up from hell. The pounding of his hooves did clap like thunder.
Sword of vengeance, your head lays there by your side.